seeking God diligently. This scripture is, as you know, is taken from Hebrews 11:6, where this scripture actually is very often focusing on the first part a lot. Let's read that scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, the first condition is that it is impossible to please God. We have to have faith. Well, if you think about it, this is the prerequisite which works both ways. First of all, we cannot please anybody if we don't believe he exists, from our standpoint of view. And from God's standpoint of view, nobody can please him in any ways if doesn't truly believe that God exists, that he has faith in him. And in this scripture, the second part of it is towards those who do not argue if God exists or not exists. This is not a problem in there. That second part is about seeking God. It's not only that I believe God, so I'm done. And where is my reward? I work out my faith. I believe he is. I believe what he does. I believe in his kingdom. Where is my reward? Am I done? There is in scripture in James, very well known as well for brethren, from James 2nd chapter and 19 verse. It says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. So we can see that the faith alone is very much required. We cannot please God. We cannot go any further. But the fact of believing that God exists is even present on the other side. Devils also believe and tremble. In this verse, once I read it, it struck me a very little detail. Thou believe that there is one God. And devils also believe that. Did you notice? One God? They believe that too. Yet, to be against, they pursue with the false teaching of the Trinity. To do anything to draw away as many people as possible for that requirement of faith that there is one God. They know. They put the error out there. So, as we know, this is for those who do not argue about God. If we need to expand this topic, there is lots of things we can elaborate on. We can elaborate on how the world is created and how it happens and so on. And for the one who does not believe, the biggest proof is himself. If somebody needs the proof of God's existence, I think the best advice would be go and study your body, how you're built. I heard it from the young sister who just became a doctor, and she was fascinated once she was learning how the one of the muscles on your arm is built. Just the one muscle, how complicated, how beautiful it works together and everything. It cannot be just coincident. And this is just the one muscle. Now we can go to the eye and part of the eye and, you know, how we are breathing, how the body is healing itself. Study of the human body itself will prove that. Well, if somebody will still not believe that and believes that creation happened itself, well, I would risk the opinion that this person has a huge faith. Huge faith, because it requires a huge faith to believe that everything happened itself. It's something which is not explainable. And I think that faith will be one day turned into the correct faith towards God. But again, this is a separate topic, separate subject. How can we build our faith? But let's concentrate on that second part. And we need to believe on the second part of the scripture that God gives rewards for those who seek Him. What the words are very, really interesting. Shouldn't we seek God, then have faith and be done with it? It's actually the other way around. First, we have to have a faith, and then we have to seek Him all the time. Because there is a reward. The reward belongs to those who seek Him. And we like rewards, don't we? If we look at the sports, athletes are competing very hard. Some of them even not lawfully, and they are cheating and they are caught. We want reward. And that reward they have, I actually experienced some examples where recently we witnessed that students were rewarded for their hard work and they were presented the reward. They can hold it, make a picture and put it away. So, you know, it's not piling up in your basement. You know, they don't have to buy another reward for another student so everybody could hold it. But this is not the reward we're talking about. This is not money. This is something which is more precious than anything else. So we should really take care and we should really look what can we do to fulfill those words to seek Him. And what is the faith for you, yourself, for myself? Let's read 2 Timothy 1:5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and your mother and Eunike, and I am sure that is in you as well. As it was mentioned, some of us were inherited that faith from our parents, even grandparents. And that was my case as well, where parents fulfill that responsibility of teaching children. And that's something we should be very thankful for. First of all, to God, and second of all, to our parents, that they remembered what's so important. And we should think about those, either our parents or maybe those brethren who put their lives to put the truth out. And this is very important to remember how they seek God, because we have to seek Him as well. Let's read Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. This is a proof of His work. I can see the good work of creation. We don't understand everything. And we are still discovering how it was made, our knowledge and everything working together perfectly. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Word of God. The Bible, which once I heard that this is not really a very credible book because it's old. but it survived all the ages. And it's full of knowledge, full of history, which was proven. And as we mentioned already, people and scientists right now discovering everything what is was written in the Bible. Bright minds of this world are coming after very diligent study, after learning very hard to conclusion which is already written in the Bible. Sequence of creation, hygiene, day of rest once per week. How about law? If we look closely, we'll see that this is based on 10 commandments right now. Yet we need to learn hard way instead of looking of the God's word. There was a story of one town where Jews were occupying very on the side, and there was a huge disease struck that city, and Jews were not affected. Who's gonna blame him? Who will be blamed? Jews. They were not sick, and everybody was. Why? Well, after many, many, many years, we, bright minds of this world, came to conclusion we need to wash hands. And we should put our waste away. Not inside of the camp. Those were requirements from the Old Testament they lived by. They lived by the law. And we had to put to death whole cities to learn the hygiene which was already passed on by law to the Israel. Archaeological works are proving history of the Bible and showing proofs, discovering how in the depth of the Red Sea they realize that the coral is growing on top of something, and they saw that they were shape of the chariot wheel. That's something which is showing that this old book is old, but there is a truth in it. So we know that we have to seek God throughout all our lives. But how? He is talking to us. We have a scripture from Acts 17:27 that they would seek God if perhaps they may go for him and find him, though he is not far from each of one of us. We can meet him in our lives, in our decisions, and he reveals to us in our feelings. Ezekiel 34:11, for thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. He is with us. He is also searching for us. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We need to look for him. We have faith and we have to search for him. But the good place to search for him is looking through our hearts and spirit to see the God who is spiritual nature. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Once we need to realize in our hearts, because this is true. This is in our thoughts, in our hearts. If we'll try to find him with our reasonable senses, we may, and reject our hearts, we may have problems. That's where we have to seek him. We have to feel him. We have to search from our hearts. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and I will be, and it will be open to you. Lord is also knocking. Knocking to our door, and we have to open. He will knock. If we open, he will enter and will dine with us. So we should ask, we should seek, and the prayer is the most important in our lives to let God know what need, because God knows what we need first. He knows everything. But by the prayers, we are asking him for help. And we are realizing what we need, and that we are poor, and without him, we cannot do anything. For those parents who have your own children, either young or older one, how would you feel if that your kid would say, you know, mom, dad, I want to ask you something, but you know, I will not ask you. I'm afraid of you. Wouldn't we be sad that our own kid is afraid of us who you love so much? We may say, you know, you're not asking for a good thing. I'll give you a good thing, but this is not the right thing you're asking. But we want to know from our children what they want. Although we know what they need, but we want this close relationship. That's why we should not be afraid to ask our Lord. We should not be afraid to let him know our feelings and ask for things. But what things? There are things we shouldn't ask for? I will say that we can ask for anything. We can ask for anything, but we should put in our prayer that after what our Lord said, not my will, but thy will be done. Because Lord, you know what is best for us. I may be asking for a wrong thing. If this is wrong thing I'm asking for, don't give it to me. I think that I'm asking for a good thing, but you know what's better for me. If it's not good, don't give it to me. If it's good, please give it to me. And this way, we will show our will to fulfill not our own will, but God's will. And that example is from Daniel 9:3 as well, who said, so I gave my attention to the Lord God, to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. We're mentioning prayers. What else? Luke 12, chapter 31, we read, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. It's not that, oh, you know, you learn it, you should know better what kingdom is. Do it, and it will be added to you. You have to seek his kingdom too. We have to look for it in our studies, in our lives, in our prayers, in our spiritual life. But as it is written in Luke 20:31, we need to know what we should seek first. What's on the first place in our life? Is it something which is really not needed for our spiritual being, or on which place is it in our life? What the priorities are, in other words. Seek first his kingdom. Study and looking for thoughts about wonderful things, like a kingdom. So we can change our way of thinking and put our old burdens on him, so we'll worry less. We heard Brother Arbor testimony yesterday of that lady in the plane. How worried everybody is. As she says, please pray for the world. Pray for the kingdom. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always about in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Our work is very important. And also when we work for others, serving brethren. We, in reality, are working for brethren, we are working for ourselves. Serving brethren, we are really doing good, not only for them, but for ourselves as well. Because by those exercises, we are building and shaping our spiritual body. So, we are shaping our character. 1 Peter 3:11. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. And we can see that departure from evil and recognizing what's good, what's evil, goes back to the Adam and Eve. Then also 10 commandments. Blameless, what we already mentioned. And Job 17:9, let's read. Nevertheless, the righteous will hold to this way, to his way. And he who has clean hands will grow stronger and stronger. Again, those are so scriptures about keeping our hands clean. But not only those hands to wash them before the meal or after they get dirty, but we can understand it both ways. Those spiritual or antitypical hands to have our conscience clean. But not clean because we don't use it. Clean because we use it and we proceed with God and His ways. Let's read Amos 5:14. Seek God and not evil, that you may live, and thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Seek good, not evil. We may seek evil. This is where our interests are. We want a God be with us. May the Lord God of hosts be with you. In a few hours we'll be singing proudly, God be with you. How do we fulfill that? What can we do about it? Seek good. Seek God. In Romans 2nd chapter 7 verse, we read, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. We need a perseverance. We need to be faithful all our life, not just partially, not just where we have this moment of great excitement where we are very joyful. We have brethren around and maybe it's the beginning of our narrow way and we are very excited about it. But then there is a perseverance. The road is getting more narrower, it's getting more uphill, there is less even surface, there are stones we'll trip over, something hurts. Again, we're going uphill again. And as long as we'll look uphill, we'll see others taller, higher than us, we are going in a good direction. It's more difficult, but our eyes should be set on Jesus, not on others. Because if others will go astray, we'll go after them. And this advice is not for those who are going the highway down there. This advice is for those who are going on that narrow way. Or if those who are walking these narrow ways are very noble, but they will no longer be with us. Let's never repeat what Peter said once our Lord passed away. What are we gonna do now? I'm gonna go fishing. This is it. If we'll have our eyes fixed on Jesus, we'll say, what a great brother it was. How much I learned from him. But my eyes are set on Jesus. I keep going because my way is not over yet. And as soon as we'll see that anybody is shorter than us, watch out, we are going downhill. We are going wrong direction. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. If we want to know God, if we want to seek Him, we can only do it through the ways of God and the ways He shows us, not through any other wisdom or knowledge. He chose foolishness of this world to be wise, and whatever is wise on this world, He shows how foolish we are and how much damage even we are doing to ourselves. We have to ask for that knowledge. For that knowledge was Solomon was asking for, and he gave us those two books. This is all the Bible students and those who wants to follow the Lord. This is encyclopedia. Lots of wisdom is there. It's just in that old book you can pick up and you can read what otherwise will have to go through universities and all the knowledge and get, ask questions. And then we realize, yes, it is written there. How come I didn't see it? Ecclesiastes 1:13 says from that book, "And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with." Once we try to seek God and His ways, then we are getting understanding. He will reveal those things which are good for us to be revealed. Another one from Proverbs 28:5. "Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things." Not only justice, all things. Sometimes we may say, oh, that's not just. Why this is happening and so on. Those who seek the Lord will get understanding of all things, because we know that He knows better than us. And although we may not understand some things, we will trust Him, and this will help us to understand His ways. Let's read Psalm 91:4. "He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge." His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Because we are thinking about Him, we are studying, and our mind is preoccupied with good things, we are less and less exposed to evil. So much we understand God's protection. Because if He is with us, who is against us? Isn't the one who is with us greater than the one who is against us? Therefore, Hebrews 10:35, "Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." Again, this scripture was already mentioned in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But I would encourage all the brethren who are quoting this scripture to always tie it with the next verse. Verse 10. So 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. "But as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered to the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." Let's not stop here. "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God." We cannot search it through our understanding, our mind, through the Spirit, which He gave to those who seek Him. I'm not saying we'll understand everything. We don't. But he revealed it to us. He gave us understanding of those things, those great things, great plan of salvation, his kingdom. He revealed it to those who believe that God exists. He revealed this to those who diligently seek it, because this is the reward. God is very generous and good in his reward. As he said to Abraham in Genesis 22, chapter 17 to 18, "Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply you, your seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nation of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." What a great promise of the reward. In closing, let's look at those precious promises and rewards. And brethren, God is very gracious and good. He has reward to everybody. And we don't have to worry what reward I will get, what reward that brother will get, because I'm not like him. Maybe we want that reward or nothing. Brethren, don't worry about the reward. He's good. He knows what we can go through. He knows what's the best reward for us. And he reward us, the reward which will never faint. Just, we have to seek him. Until when? Until we understand that his plan of salvation, until we know exactly what point of chart of the ages are we, it's very important for us. We have to search for it. Maybe up to the point once we understand every single piece of Ezekiel prophecy, or maybe Revelation, then we're getting reward. Then we can stop, right? No. But there is one date which is very sure, and we cannot dispute or even think about moving that date. It's in the Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death. How much time we have? We have to work, and we have to seek God to the last breath. Then he will give his reward to us. Jeremiah 29:13. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all thy heart." And the last verse from a very wise book of Proverbs, 18:17. "I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me." That's my wish to you, brethren. So we'll diligently seek, because we will seek him, we will find him. And him who loves us, and he wants everybody to find him. And he will give his reward to everybody at their time. And he will give his reward to all of those who seek him. May the Lord add his blessing.